first service commented that the sermon was too short. So blame them for what's about to happen. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who's at work among us this day. Amen. I want to start with just a word of apology. We worked really hard to try to build themes and to find connections in our worship and our way of being, and we built this beautiful theme exposed, and I didn't do a great job of getting that across to you all. We have come from this time of Christmas into this season of Epiphany, from the Christ child to the threshold of Lent, where we turn our eyes to the cross, and this season is about how God has been exposed through the person and work of Jesus, from the moment of baptism all the way through the transfiguration. And each one of those stops reveals something more of God's character and who God is. And your teams, your visual arts team and your passionate worship team, they built this beautiful movement of light. They hung the curtains and placed the lights behind the cross. They have had us singing Christ Be Our Light one verse at a time until today, when we'll finally get all of the verses. They wrote a call to worship. They on and on and on and on. And I didn't get to that place of real clarity for you all. And so what I want to do today is to go back and to help see that thread as it comes through the season from the manger, from the wise men on January 4th, all the way through to this place where we stand on the threshold of the journey to the cross, and to see there how God's character is revealed through Jesus. So if you're a Bible person, we're going to stop through. I'm not going to deep dive in each section, but you could read for yourselves. Otherwise, join me as we move through the season after Epiphany. That poor little guy wiping out. Oof. So the theme is exposed, and it is about how God exposed God's self to us. We began, if you remember, all the way back, and you were here, Pastor Jeff Backer was here for us on Baptism of Our Lord Sunday to talk about St. Dismas Prison, but also to proclaim the good news of Jesus' baptism. And in Matthew chapter 3, I swear I'm not moving. If you go there, there are a few little nuggets. First, John would have prevented him. John said, Jesus, it's not right that I baptize you, but you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no. Right here, right now, to fulfill all righteousness, this is exactly what needs to happen. It's a moment of profound humility that leads then to this enormous revelation, that ripping open of the heavens, that's that word, tearing or ripping, think chip bag and the way that they explode if you pull too hard, right? And then from there, the voice, this is my son, the beloved. And the dove descending onto Jesus to say, on this one rests God's presence. It is in and with and through him. That is the foundation on which the entirety of the Gospel of Matthew stands, all 10 toes. This one is my son. So everything that comes after it then points back to how it connects to that declaration. For the next week, we actually bump out of the Gospel of Matthew, but we continue with John the Baptist, and that's the connection here. John the Baptist, with his disciples, he had disciples, is telling them about what had happened at the baptism. I saw the heavens ripped open and the Holy Spirit descend like a dove. And then this voice, it rang out with this declaration that was this truth I cannot ignore. And as John is saying that, there's Jesus. And he said then, look, the Lamb of God. Now, the question here is, what is a lamb? What is a lamb of God? It starts with some basics of, it's the one who is innocent and pure. It's the gift that is given for reconciliation and redemption, a hope when you're staring death right in the face. That's the Exodus story of what a lamb of God is. For it to be then that God is the one who does that is to flip the entire narrative on our head, which we'll get to as we continue forward, to say every previous time, we've been the ones responsible for finding the lamb. Every previous time, we've been the ones trying to seek purity and innocence in some way forward that never quite solves it. And so here is the finality of the one true lamb who offers for us true innocence and a true way forward into the good news of his grace. So the redemption, the reconciliation, the restoration of the relationship, it's not on us, but instead a gift of that lamb that is given there. Then we go back to the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is now teaching. He is gathering disciples from beside the sea. Couple of pairs of brothers, James and John, Peter and Andrew, or Simon, who is called Peter. That's interesting that he's calling people to follow him and to become fishers of people. But what is he calling them into? And what he is calling them into is not just to gain a crowd and to have some people to hang out with. I mean, that's nice. We all need friends. But what he's asking of them is to participate in his work of turning the world right side up, of healing, of teaching, of bringing people closer to God every day, in every way that they walk through the world. And so as God is exposed here, he's exposed, yes, as prophet. He knows that these people are going to walk alongside him and are going to be the ones who are God's voice for others. That's what a prophet is. Who's God's voice for others. But also what's exposed here is that God acknowledges the world is upside down, that it needs healing, it needs teaching, and God needs partners in that ministry and in that mission. God needs us to do that work of turning the world right side up. And then if you were here the week that Jamie Lennon preached that just beautiful Sermon on the Mount. He had his star from January 4th that had the word be on it. And he wrestled with, that wasn't the word he wanted. Right? Remember that? We had all of these other words like stillness and joy and other things. And he got two letters, be. And he chafed against that. But he ended up declaring so clearly while holding that star aloft at the end, that what's happening here in the Gospel of Matthew is God looking out into the world and saying, I know the world is broken. I know the world is upside down. And yet into that world, I am going to be declaring blessing. And it's not aspirational. It's not that you have to get your stuff together and somehow get on the train and God will do that for you. It is instead a declaration of exactly where you are, poor, vulnerable, lonely, hungry, doesn't matter. Sitting in that seat right there, God declares you blessed. Blessed in a way that says you have a place with me. Blessed in a way that says there is a hope and a future when you feel like there is none. And then, still on the mount, the very next verses, I know you've been hopeful. We know the world's right or upside down. We understand that you are poor and vulnerable, hurting and in pain, sick and wondering when God will show up. And you're thinking, do I have to do it on my own? I've already declared to you that I'm the lamb. Here and now, know that your striving is over. That in Jesus, you are reconciled, named and claimed beloved of God, each and every one, because I have done the work once and for all. End of story. Which leads us then to today. Peter, James, and John, they join Jesus, and as he's done so often, he went up a mountain. These are thin places where God draws near. Remember the story of Moses going up the mountain and God's cloud settling on it. That's what happens here. Remember those experiences of Jesus' prayer life, of his continually withdrawing and going into these places to connect with his Father. And then hear this. They went up the mountain, and there as they prayed, Jesus was transfigured. He became light. It wasn't that light shone even out of him so much as he was light. And there on one side of him was Moses. How could that be? It's been 1,000 years. And on the other, Elijah, that prophet who held people to account. And so Peter, always Peter, said, "This is very cool. I know what I'm going to do. Jesus, we should build tents and we should stay right here." And while Peter was still speaking, a cloud overshadowed them, just as it had at Sinai with Moses in the wilderness. The Shekinah, or the visible presence of God, settled and, interrupting him, said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But this time, he added 3 little words. "Listen to him." Well, if you had seen your best friend, your teacher, your rabbi, suddenly become light, however that works, 2 guys who were long ago taken into heaven, and then heard a voice come out of the clouds, you too might have fallen onto your knees with your face pressed to the dirt. And you might have sat there, trembling, until someone came and laid their hand on your shoulder and on your back. And even then, you might not have immediately raised your head. You might have looked at the sandals and the feet and said, "I think I know those sandals. Those might be the feet of my teacher." And then so slowly, you too might have raised your eyes to Jesus. And in that moment, all of the things that you had witnessed would have come tumbling into place. This ordinary man, this friend, your rabbi, you knew it from the beginning, and yet you always wondered. This one who humbled himself at the River Jordan, who came as gift of reconciliation and redemption, who declared the fulfillment of God's law once and for all, who looked at you, ordinary fishermen, having not too often a bath and no education, and declared unto you, "You are blessed." That one is the one. God's Son. Amen.